remembered to pray before we started. I'm growing. Yeah. I am growing.
Yeah, I still am too.
I think my table's a little lopsided. So I think we're good. As long as I don't lean on it, I guess we're okay, right? It's a little wobbly, but it's okay. That's okay. I think we're good. I'm just talking about that, that's all. Don't worry about fixing it. Okay, so am I really loud or is it just normal?
No, you're fine. We're good.
Okay, because I feel like I'm really loud. Okay.
Not for me.
Okay, good. All right, good. Well, first of all, before I begin, I want to tell you, I always talk about how I came up with whatever I'm doing tonight. And honestly, Christy came over the house last week and her and I were having, you know, the conversation to fix all the world's problems. And I know, right? We tried. We really tried. And we laughed, we talked, we cried. It was good times. And as we're talking, I thought, oh my gosh, what we were talking about, I'm thinking, that's what I'm going to minister on. I can't believe it just came out of this conversation. Because I just found out the night before and we got together and I thought, this is it. I'm doing that. Well, guess what? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. And honestly, I thought right away, I mean, I was going to go that direction, maybe another time. Maybe not, I mean, and maybe there's pieces of it in here. And then Sunday morning I taught youth group, and I haven't done that like in a while, like really taught youth group. I was actually nervous too. I thought, oh my gosh, these kids are going to hate me. I mean, like, what is that nerd doing up there? But it went okay. But through that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do that for my adult people. They're going to love this.
Absolutely.
And I'm not doing that either. Not doing that either, because I just wasn't feeling it, you know? It just wasn't right. And so, I pulled out my arsenal. I actually found my flash drive, and I put all the messages on my flash drive this time as compared to, like, not doing that last time. And so I looked through things, and I was going through all the things that I've wrote throughout the years. And I'm like, I had a lot of stuff. And some things I was reading over going, well, what were you thinking? Did you know anything about the Lord at this time in your life? I mean, that makes no sense at all, but apparently somebody liked it. But I found a couple of messages, and honestly, what I'm going to share with you tonight, I've been wanting to do this for a long, long time, but every time I get up here, something else would jump in the way. But this time it actually kind of worked out. So what I did was I took two messages that I had from years ago and smushed them together. So they are a compilation of two messages. One from 2007. Right? Uh-huh. Right? That's crazy. I was like, what? 2007? I'm like, did we have computers then? And then one from 2009. So I squished them together. So anyway, I hope you learned something tonight, and I hope I do too. All right, so what is the church? And does it matter if I'm there? Do I add value? Will I be missed if I'm gone? Unfortunately, as Christians, these questions roll around in our heads way too often.
Right.
Even Christians who have been in the church for years think these questions. Will I make a difference? Why am I even here? Hopefully, I will be able to answer these questions for you, at least shed some light. And finally, I need you to understand before we move on that this is not a message of or to get you to be more involved in the church. This is not that kind of message. It's much deeper than that. So buckle up and hold on. The church is the body of Christ, right?
Yep.
You've heard this. We say it all the time. The church is the body of Christ. And there are two levels of the body of Christ. There's the universal level, and then there's a local level. Because we are a part of this body. We are a part of this body. We need to be involved on a regular basis. so we can worship God with his people through singing, learning, giving, and hanging out with other believers.
Right.
So three words in there I want to emphasize and kind of bring some light to, and then we'll delve into it deeper a little bit later. First of all, the church. When I mention the church now and through the rest of the message, I'm referring to the church.
Yeah.
Not
the building. Yeah.
Thank you, the building. Not what we come to, but us. Mm-hmm. Also, body of Christ, once again, us.
Amen.
And so tonight, the church and the body of Christ are what?
One.
The same thing.
That's right.
And then finally, the word worship. When we think about worship, we think about the 30 minutes we spend prior to the message. Most of us say, oh, I love to worship. I love worship. I worship all the time, and that's great. But worship is more than just 30 minutes.
Right.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I broke it down into four parts, and there could be more parts, but there's the four I'm going to focus on is in the vague general sense. It is the singing. It is the learning. It is the giving. It is the hanging out with the believers. It all means worship.
Yes.
Okay. You with me still?
Yep.
All right, now Kyle, I don't know if you remember, but hopefully some of you guys do, is The Thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Thing
mm-hmm.
from the Addams Family?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Thing is a severed human hand that runs around and does stuff for the Addams Family. That's not realistic, right? Because how long can a severed hand actually live outside of the human body?
Mm-hmm.
It can't.
Right.
Once it's removed from the body, it would cease to function immediately.
Right.
It wouldn't take some time. It wouldn't be a couple of days. It wouldn't be a couple of hours. It would be immediately
yep.
plop, done functioning. So it makes me wonder if the way some Christians act reminds God of this crawling hand, crawling around, doing what it wants, separated from the body.
Oh, boy,
oh boy is right, Tim. So, I wonder if God thinks about us that way. So now Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend some time going back to that chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. So you might want to put a marker in there or a pen in there or something, because we're going to go back to it a couple of times. So Paul, once again, refers to the church as the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit.
Right.
And we have all received the same Spirit.
Amen.
So this body of Christ has many parts. And they make up one body. In this passage, Paul is not talking about the church as a building.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, he's talking about all Christians everywhere on this earth, in this world,
Amen.
In every nation. We can call this, once again, the universal church.
Mm-hmm.
All Christians everywhere, all believers of Christ everywhere. And then all of us, the universal church, are supposed to come together in these smaller groups, in our local meetings called the local church. So the body of Christ has to be somewhere. We just can't be all separated all over the world, right?
Right.
We got to come together somehow,
yep.
Somewhere, sometime. So it looks like this. When God looks down on the earth, he sees all the Christians as one group, right? And I said, called the universal body of Christ. When believers get together to worship, once again, worship being more than just one thing, he sees us little groups as the local body. Every single saved believer of Christ is a part of the body of Christ. I can't emphasize that enough. Mm-hmm. So when you aren't there, the body struggles to function. Teachers, volunteers, and even parishioners, we all need to do our part. And like I said, this is not a message of get involved, do your part, but we have to do our part as a parishioner. That means showing up.
Yeah, that's right.
That means being a part of the body. But to go a step further, you all came here tonight. The lights were on, the doors were unlocked, the sound booth was happening, water was poured, glasses were on the stage,
yep.
The table was out here. It had to happen somehow.
That's right.
People had to do this.
Amen.
It just doesn't happen. We just don't walk in the building and poof, it's all there. It takes hands. It takes work. It takes feet. It takes people. It takes the body of Christ.
Amen.
So when we're missing somebody, we struggle to function well. When our teachers don't show up, we got to scramble to find somebody else to cover. That's why it's important to be here.
That's right.
That's why it's important.
Yep.
So when Christians decide to take a break from church, they are basically separating themselves from the body of Christ, from the body. They become a crawling hand.
Yeah, that's right.
They cut themselves off from the life of the church, and they cease to function. Because when you are separated from the body, how can you function like the body is supposed to function? It's hard to live a life separated from Christ,
hey,
from the body.
Yeah.
It's as ridiculous as a cruising hand running down the hallway. Now, every Christian needs the church. Once again, the church being us, not the building. Even though it's nice to have a building to come to with air conditioning and all that good stuff. And windows and doors so that we can be safe from the elements. But every Christian needs the church to be a part of the body of Christ. Do not cut yourself off from everything you need to survive. Let's break it down. So, Christ, Jesus, is the head of the church, right? You've heard that.
Yeah.
He's the head of the church. So imagine, think of this, if we're the body of Christ, doesn't it make sense that we are his body? And he is the head.
Mm.
And what lies in the head?
Yeah.
Anybody know? What? Yes, yeah. Right, the brains, the mind. And without the head, without the brains, what can the body do?
That's right.
Nothing. We cease to function, at least how God wants us to function.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may still get by, we may still go to work and get things done, but are we doing what God wants us to do? So Christ is the head of the church. The head is where the brains are, the mind is, which gives us our direction. So go to Ephesians 5:23.
Yeah.
I'll prove it to you. While you turn there, I'll take a sip of my water.
Yeah.
That, by the way, I've got a straw in. Mm. That's some yummy water. Who made the water? It's yummy.
Yeah. Welcome.
It's yummy.
Always does a good job.
She does. So Ephesians 5, verse 23. We're talking about Christ being the head of the church, which is where the brains are, which is it gives us our direction. So in Ephesians 5, 23, it says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body." Who is the body? We are.
Yeah. Amen.
So now we're the body, right?
Yes.
So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because if there's a head, there needs to be a body.
Amen.
If there's a head, there needs to be a body. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Simply put, now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yeah.
You are a part of the body as well as an individual member. You matter. You being here, you not being here, matters. Not just because we're like, oh, we need to fill seats. We need a crowd.
Mm.
It's not because of that at all.
No.
Don't get us wrong. Don't get anybody up here that gets up here and says things like that wrong because we don't mean it.
Yeah.
That is not what we mean when we say get to church. We were like, we want to see you grow, survive, and live and thrive.
Yes. Yes, sir. Come on, sis.
So, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. We said that you are a part of the body and an individual member. Now go to Hebrews 4, 12. You are a part of the body and an individual member as well. You matter. So to answer the earlier question, if I missed, will anybody notice? Yeah, we'll notice. So Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful." The word of God is living and powerful. It's alive.
Yes, it is.
It beats. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word is alive and it's active. So, once again, for the sake of being redundant and repeating myself over and over again, Christ being the head of the church is the brains behind the operation, giving the body instructions on how to live our lives according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break it down even further. First of all, you were created to worship God, right?
Amen.
And worship was created to be done as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You can individually worship at home, in your car. I'm not saying you can't do those things, because you can. But that's only part of this big picture. That's only part of this, once again, body of Christ, because if you're just at home by yourself, how are you part of the body?
Right.
You cannot fully worship God outside of the church, because worship involves, here it is again, praising God, hearing his word, giving back to him, and hanging out with his people.
Yeah, that's right.
Try all you want, but you can't do these things alone.
Mm-hmm.
We try to say that we can. But Leanne, I watch my TV preachers. I'm good. I have my praise times. I have my prayer closet. Those are all great. Yay. Awesome. Go for it. But you cannot forsake this.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to Hebrews 10:25. This is going to be a shocker. Where could it possibly be going now? Hebrews 10:25. Do not give up meeting together. What?
Yeah.
Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It happens. We get hurt. We feel discouraged. Someone doesn't say hi to us. Someone says hi to us too much. Someone hugs us too much. Someone doesn't hug us enough. We're always hurt by somebody. And sometimes we're doing the hurting. We've all been on both sides of that fence. And sometimes when you're the hurter, you don't know you're doing it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I know myself. If I have to go to the bathroom, I'm going. Do not stop me. I will ignore you. I will put my head down. I'll say, gotta go. I'm sorry. I can't talk right now. And I'm probably putting people off. She can't stop for half a second to say hi to me. Or she got to go in a hurry. If I stop and explain to 10 people, then guess what's going to happen? Don't want to go there. So we have to kind of maybe give people the benefit of the doubt, maybe.
There you go.
A little grace. Yeah, I like that. Lisa, thanks. A little grace. Because we're not all out there to hurt people.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we may be totally on the line, and yes, we've hurt somebody, and it's intentional. We've done something truly stupid. Apologize.
That's
all. Say, I'm sorry. Don't leave. I was a jerk, and I didn't mean to be, but, you know, I can be a turd sometimes.
It comes
natural. Yeah, I know. You know what? Actually, since we're talking about this, you're saying it comes natural. When people ask me that I come across in my daily life at work, or, you know, a friend of a friend, and we talk about church, you might get offended as I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And they say to me, they ask me the question, I don't understand this question, it doesn't make sense to me at all. How are the people in your church? What does that mean? How are the people in your church? They're people. I mean, they're just people that come to church. But I say, here's what I say, and I apologize. I say, we are just a bunch of crap heads trying to love Jesus. I said, we may hurt you, we may not, but come and give us a try.
That's right.
And they love it.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth. And I think I told somebody this on Sunday morning. I said that. And they go, oh, my gosh, that's perfect. I mean, because what am I supposed to say? Oh, my goodness, when you walk in, we'll love you and hug you and kiss you. Not always going to happen.
That's right.
We got jobs to do, too. Like, some of us are really busy. Mm-hmm. We're like, boom, 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 darting around. We don't always have time or see the new person. Now, or even to the old person who just goes, I just want someone to notice me.
Yeah.
Just notice me. And we've all been there. I've been there. All of this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, not knowing, hurting, not knowing. Leanne, welcome back.
What fun is that? That's cool. It's big.
I made it big.
Yeah.
So you just look down and see it. It's really big. It's like one verse on the screen. It was like one verse on there. So where were we? In Hebrews 10:25, it's calling us crap heads here in church. All right. Which we can be sometimes, not going to lie. We can't, even me. So we shouldn't give up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing. Let's not do it. So now, not only do you need the church, but the church needs you. Imagine if you woke up one day and your feet said, I'm going to take a day off today. Now, some of you probably say, they take a day off every day. But the point is, I'm trying to say, is they're actually off your body on the pillow next to you going, yep, not today. Imagine if that happened. It's ridiculous, right? Your body parts can't decide to decide on their own to take a day off. They can't decide this on their own. So why do we? Why do we? Jesus Christ is the head. Mm-hmm. He's the brains behind this operation. So when you bail out on church, you're bailing out on Jesus.
Come on.
Not me, not pastor, not anybody else. You're bailing out on Jesus. Mm. You're not doing your part as the body of Christ. Think about it. Who out here has ever built Legos before? Legos?
Mm-hmm.
Puzzles?
Yep.
Right? Well, I've done both in my lifetime. Built Legos, built puzzles, loved Legos. Oh, my gosh. But create from scratch. It was so great, so much fun. Nowadays, kids have, like, their step-by-step projects. I'm like, that, come on.
Yeah.
Be creative. Build a house from scratch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're building that great house, all those little pieces, and then you realize you don't have all the roof pieces. And you're just like, what's the point? So you just destroy it. Because it's not finished. You're unsatisfied. It's not what you thought it would be, or you're missing a window frame, or you don't have the shutters you thought you had, or the flowers to put in the front yard. And then building a puzzle, how many of us have gotten to the end and realized there's like 5 pieces missing?
Yeah.
5 pieces missing. And the whole time you think, wow, it's 1,000. I put 995 pieces together. That's a lot of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5 are missing. I should feel good about this. But you don't. You're thinking, where are they? Probably in some vent somewhere. The vacuum cleaner, the dog ate it. They're still missing. This is what it's like when someone chooses not to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. When you are not here, you are missed.
Incomplete.
So what can you do about it? You have to change the way you think about what happens to you while you're at church. Because, you know, we all come in here ready to criticize, and I'm not trying to be mean, don't think that, because I do it too. I mean, my dad's the pastor now, and all I want to do is criticize everything, every single thing he does. I'm like, oh, come on, oh, it's my dad, you know? So I have to put those things away and say, you know, because when your dad's doing the thing, you're always worried about your dad doing it. When you're a kid and you're at the park and your dad's being your dad, you're like, oh, come on, Dad.
Yeah.
But the rest of us do it too. We come in here. First of all, before I keep rambling on about nothingness, go to church, get involved. There's my speech on getting involved. Now, first things first. You come in. You like worship to be a certain way. Maybe you like fast music. Maybe you like really slow music. Maybe you like just ballads. Maybe you like something speedier. I don't know. But you have things you like. And you come in here and worship isn't quite what you thought it was going to be. So the whole time you're like, I hate this song. No one's clapping, so why should I clap? I'm clapping too loud. They're clapping too loud. Why am I raising my hands? I don't want to. So the whole time we have this conversation in our heads when we should just be worshiping God. So it's changing our perspective, changing what we think, what we say while we're here. Even preparing when we, before we get here in the car, say, Lord, I love worship. However it is, whatever it is, I'm worshiping you.
Right.
With my brothers and sisters in the Lord, mm-hmm. the body of Christ. If you want something to be different, pray about it.
Right.
Take it to God. Lord, give us wisdom. Show us ways. So don't just judge it. Say, Lord, I'm not going to today. Trust me. Like I said, I've been there. Don't just judge it. Just worship the Lord. Whatever it is, just enter in. Look at Jesus, not up here.
There you go.
Don't look around the room and compare yourselves to others. Who does that?
Yeah.
Right? Who's, what? Oh. I'm like, what is back there? See, I get distracted. Don't look around the room. Don't compare yourselves to others. You know, I think I may have said this before while I was up here, but I'm going to say it again because I'm sure it's been like 1,000 years since I've said it. But when I was teaching youth group back in the day, and then I got older and the kids got older, a couple of the older kids who came back said, you know, Leanne, I just thought I couldn't measure up. You were so perfect. I said, me? They're like, yeah, you just had it all together. I said, why? Because I came in and I could preach the word for 25 minutes? I had it all together? No, I'm a procrastinator. I can be lazy. I am not perfect.
Oh, no.
I kept road rage back in the day. I had some crazy road rage. Ugh. Ugh. It was not good. Funny. You're funny. You're funny. So don't compare yourselves to others because some of us put on shows. Some of us put on a good show and make us look like we're really good, we got it together, but we really don't. So just know this. Rule of thumb. None of us have it together.
Yeah, that's right.
We are all a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
We're all trying to make it.
That's right.
Just know that off the bat. Okay, moving on. Next one. During the preaching of the word. Once again, I'm saying things I've thought before myself. Throughout my lifetime, sitting in the sanctuary with guest speakers, with whoever happens here, I've had these thoughts too, so I'm not coming at you. During the teaching of God's word, don't evaluate the pastor. On how interesting, how funny, was he dry, did she give enough examples, was she clear enough, but just picture Jesus himself up there.
That's right. Amen.
Because
yeah.
He is.
Yes, it is.
When you go home after service, this is when sometimes the fun begins, you kind of like pick it apart, right? What happened during the service? Who didn't say hi to me? Who didn't hug me? I don't feel like I'm important there. And then what you didn't get out of church. I've heard that a lot. Well, I didn't get anything out of the service. What does that mean? It's the word. Well, maybe the examples weren't up your alley, but it's still the word.
That's right.
It's still the word. So to change that, to make it different, to make you not feel so alone or so separated, change the way you think. Instead of saying, who didn't say hi to me, say, who didn't I say hi to? Change it. Change you. You walk in with your hand out going, hi, good to see you. Even though inside you're trembling going, I'm going to be rejected. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. So go back again with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm winding down. Almost done. Aww.
Aww.
Don't be so sad. I'll be back sometime.
Oh, yes, you will.
I'll be back again. I'll just recharge my scooter. I'll be back. So 1 Corinthians 12 again. This time, I'm going to read you all of it. So let me go. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 31. Snuggle up, get cozy, follow along. Yeah, my microphone keeps flipping over because my dad won't let me do it on the side I want to do it on. Just saying. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through forever. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would we smell from? Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, each one of us, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Someone's got to turn on lights. Someone's got to shovel the sidewalk. May not be glory, but it's got to be done, right? Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. No schism in the body. No schism in the body. There should be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it.
Right.
Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret tongues? 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. We all need each other.
Yes, we
do. That's what this is saying. It's talking about an actual body needing each other. If your thumb was missing, that'd be a big deal. If your thumb was missing, if you lost your thumb, that would matter. You'd have to change things, your habits. Thumbs help put buttons on. Thumbs help pull zippers up. Thumbs are for grabbing. If you don't have a thumb, you have to adapt some way. So all of our body parts in this room matter. So think of it like this. It's like God was saying, even though we may want to be a singer, God may want us to be the teacher. Even though we may want to be a teacher, he may want us to be the helper. Even though we may want to be the helper, God may want us to be the pastor. And even though we may want to be the pastor of the church, God may want us to be the one that maintains it. We need to listen for where God would like us to be. Go back to verse 18 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need to listen to where God wants us to be. I've passed it up. Verse 18 says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So that leads me to believe that he is the one that gave us our jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, we may think, oh, Pastor Jack told me, or Leanne told me, or Elder Bob told me, or, you know, Elder Vish told me. But guess what? God's working here.
Right.
Also, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That's right. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in God. I messed it all up. I had it memorized earlier. Oh, my goodness, I messed it all up. Go ahead. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, yes. Ah. See, I am not perfect. No one could ever, ever, ever say it.
Those are my base scriptures.
I know. I know. That's like my first one I ever memorized as a kid. That one in 1 Peter 5, 7. Those two verses. But it's the truth. I did. Yeah, that was, see, that was my game. That was my game. Thank you. But we need to trust in the Lord. He will show us where he wants us.
Yes, sir. That's right.
He will show us.
Yep.
So this stuff here doesn't happen with one person. We all have a part.
Amen.
We all make this happen. So in closing, final statement of the night. I challenge you. Don't be the missing Lego. Don't be the missing puzzle piece. Or even a Christian thing. But be an active part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well done, Lee.
Thank you, Lord.